I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Oh, hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week for a second visit to the fine Yorkshire city of Sheffield, famously known as Steel City. Surely that's Liverpool. The city of Sheffield boasts several football teams. In 1857, Sheffield FC became the first football team in Britain and remained undefeated until 1863, when Britain's second team was created. For the first season of its existence, the Sheffield Wednesday team had no name. But after he sat through a few games, their manager decided it was best to call it a day. Following some crowd disturbances last season, the city police announced that any Sheffield Wednesday fans reported to have caused trouble would have their season tickets cancelled and would be banned from attending matches. 27,000 fans handed themselves in. Sheffield was the first city in Britain to introduce Wi-Fi and now sells internet services all over the country. I was rung up earlier today to be told by a local company that they could beat the price of whoever provides my broadband service. I doubt it. It's my next door neighbour. One of Sheffield's greatest claims to fame is that it's the home of Ronseal. That's the product that actually does exactly what it says on the packaging. If anyone from Lurpak Spreadable is listening, they might want to make notes. Sheffield Wednesday's legendary player, John Fantham, was born in the city and became the team's leading post-war goal scorer with 166 goals before retiring in 1972. When he passed away last year, Sheffield Wednesday fans held a minute's silence before the match, followed by another 90 during it. But Wednesday's not the only team used to playing games in near total silence. Let's meet two more. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Susan Cowman. And taking her place at the desk next to me, please welcome our scorer, the wonderful Samantha. Well, we start this week with some new additions to the Uxbridge English Dictionary. A good dictionary is essential for learning the correct use of similar terms. For example, many people don't understand the subtle difference in meaning between the words wound and injury. Well, a wound is an abrasion to living tissue caused by a cut, blow, or other impact, typically one in which the skin is broken, whereas injury is that singer with the blockheads. The meanings of words are constantly changing, teams, so your suggestions, please, of any new definitions you may have spotted recently. Susan, you can start.
Foible, something coughed up by a New York cat.
Barry?
Pity. Bit like a pit.
Tim?
Sorting, a Jamaican rash.
Graham?
Grandstand. Granny's been to the solarium.
Dichotomy, when a lesbian wearing a woolen jumper gets stuck on the Velcro of your jacket.
Croquette, a tiny little crocodile.
Chaise long, that woman's very tall.
Coquette. A tiny little rooster.
Campy, fraudulent urine sample.
Cenotaph, a Welsh laxative.
Economist, cheap fog.
Pantry, what pants grow on.
Robot, an occupational disease of oarsmen.
Percussion, how Scottish soft furnishers are paid.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with some well-known discs now in the game called Pick Up Song. Britain has always revered the disc jockey, from the modern heroes Fatboy Slim and Judge Jules to the 70s legends, The Accused and Prisoner 5468. Samantha will spin the discs. Each of you should sing along to your record teams until Samantha turns the volume down. If on the music's return you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean a predictable Pavlovian response. What do points mean?
Prizes!
And this week's prize is the world's most elusive pudding. It's the lesser spotted dick. So this round will feature duets. You're to start, Barry and Graham. I'd like you to accompany Bobby Darin and chorus singing Things.
Every night I sit here by my window.
Window!
Staring at the lonely avenue.
Avenue!
Watching lovers holding hands and laughing.
Laughing!
And thinking about things we used to do.
Thinking of things!
Like a walk in the park.
Things!
Like a kiss in the dark.
Things!
Like a sailboat ride.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the night we cried? Things like a lover's vow. Things that we don't do now. Think about the things, we used to do.
OK, your turn, Susan and Tim, and I'd like you to accompany Bonnie Tyler and her chorus singing Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now tonight. And I need you more.
Almost a standing ovation, I think. When people start leaving, it's a bit like that, isn't it? Well, the teams are going to treat us to some acting now in the miming round called Sound Charades. This is a variation on the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue, the show that put Lionel Blair's name on the map, just inside Scunthorpe. Tim and Susan, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
The House at Pooh Corner. The House at Pooh Corner.
It's a book, and it's five words, and it goes like this.
Hello, I'm looking for a simple two up, two down, nothing fancy. I've got a budget in the region of 50,000.
50,000? Well, I'm afraid we're nothing with that sort of price, madam.
Nothing at all. I mean, I'll consider anything.
Anything?
Yes, anything.
Well, there is one.
Yes?
No, I don't think it's for you.
Oh, no, where is it? Can you show me on the map?
Okay,
where
you see the property there, where the two roads meet at right angles?
The one next to the sewage works?
That's the one.
Right angles, a corner. Oh, the house at Pooh Corner.
Okay, your turn, Barry and Graham, and your title is now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Cape Fear. Cape Fear.
This one is a film.
A film?
Mm-hmm. And it's two words.
Two words.
Hamish.
Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
No, but, oh, look here. What are you doing in Wee Tam's Gents Outfitters?
I'm getting my full dress regalia for Big Tam's Burns Night Hullabaloo.
Well, very impressive you look, too.
Well, I always like to be nicely turned out.
Well, you were very politely turned out last year, I remember.
To be honest, I'm a bit worried about Wee Tam, the outfitter.
Oh, how so, old friend?
I don't think you need to take an inside leg measurement for a kilt.
Well, he knows his own business best. And I may say he's doing a grand job. Look at the silver buckles on your shoes. They're polished bright enough to see your own... Oh.
Do you like the jacket?
The sooner the better, yes. All you need now to complete the picture is your own wee cloak.
No, I'm not having that near me.
Well, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened of it. Here, I'll put it round your shoulders.
No.
Oh, come on.
Take it away.
No.
Don't let it touch me.
Oh, goodness.
I have an irrational phobia for short cloaks.
And there's no more to be said. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
This,
he's still in the outfit. The cloak, he didn't like the cloak.
I think the cloak might be important. And it was a short cloak.
Yeah.
Less, okay. I don't know what the name of a short cloak is.
Oh, good.
A wee cloak.
I'm Scottish and I've never known someone to go, do you want a wee cloak?
A wee cloak.
Cape
Fear.
Cape Fear.
Well, this round is about disasters in the workplace. A bad decision can ruin a business. For example, local knowledge is vital. That's why Richard Branson's wedding shop, Virgin Brides, didn't work here in Sheffield. This is an improvised round in which one team are the bosses and the other team are members of staff in for an appraisal following a series of unfortunate incidents at work for which they appear to be responsible. As the bosses list these various cock-ups and disasters, the staff members should attempt to justify themselves, and the round ends when either staff member takes responsibility or when the bosses accept the staff's explanation. So you can start being the staff, Tim and Susan. You work as zookeepers. You, Barry and Graham, are their bosses, and you're about to summon them into the boardroom for their appraisals. Off you go.
Come in.
Hello there.
Now, as you probably gathered, we've had a series of disasters at the zoo, and
really?
I'm afraid we have to find out who's responsible.
Yeah.
To begin with, the penguins.
Yes.
Yes.
Where are they?
Yes.
just had an idea of renting the penguins out for student parties.
Yes, yes.
As butlers. And it went down. It went down very well.
Yeah,
actually.
Under the headline, "Pick up a penguin."
Pick up a penguin. Yeah,
yeah. Very good.
You see, the penguins aren't our main worry.
Oh right.
Right.
Whose bright idea was it to put the tigers in with the zebras?
Yeah.
It was the zebras' idea.
I find that hard to believe. Any fool would see that the stripes would clash.
Yes,
unfortunately, the zebras aren't here to defend themselves,
no,
are
they? The animals are roaming, but certainly they're loosed around there.
That's what we believe in nowadays. These animals should roam freely.
Roam free, yeah.
Well, yes, but when we say come to the zoo and see the lions in their natural habitat, we don't mean Lewisham High Street.
No.
It's part of helping people to get fitter. You know, come to the zoo and take exercise by running away from the lions. So we could probably get a government grant of some kind to do that.
Is that why you put the rhino in the petting zoo?
No. We did that because we get more money that way.
Really?
Yes.
How do you get more money out of having a rhino in the petting zoo?
Well, there's more of a rhino than anything else. So you can have 40 people petting the rhino. By the end of the afternoon, they're actually only 23, but yes, they're very happy.
Yes.
It's getting worse. The zoo is deserted at the moment. It's pathetic.
Sorry.
So how are you going to get the animals?
I'm very, very sorry.
I'm just on an apprenticeship. It's not really my fault. It's because the government doesn't train young people enough. I mean, I've got talents and skills.
I can't afford
to
play for university unless I come here.
We've got nothing. We're wearing each other's clothes.
We are. Actually, that's quite nice, but that's the end.
Well, I'm very tempted to accept your apology, but there's the obvious thing you haven't mentioned. The elephant in the room.
Fair enough, yeah. I think that's the end of that one. Let's try another round, and this time you can be the staff, Barry and Graham, and you work as suppliers of magic tricks and illusions. And Tim and Susan, you're their bosses. So can you please summon them into the boardroom for a disciplinary hearing?
OK.
Come in.
You come.
Morning.
Listen, don't start with your apologies. When we allowed you to have the franchise of our premium magic business, we didn't expect what's happened. I mean, the complaints, Tim, have
they're
been
pouring
flying.
In. Pouring in.
Yeah.
Really?
I've had almost hundreds of letters from parents about the rabbits that you sent out. Where did you get them from?
Well, we only got two to start with. That did get a bit out of hand, but yeah. I think we sorted it out.
It's just that the packaging says they're from Ann Summers, and that's really not the kind of rabbits. That you want to appear out of a hat at a children's party.
To be fair, the batteries were very good.
Big.
Also, you sent Paul Daniels, we have a long letter from him, he's really cross.
Another one, yeah.
Yeah, you sent this cabinet.
Yes, yes.
For Debbie McGee to disappear.
Yes, yes,
yes,
indeed.
She hasn't been seen since.
That's how effective it is.
Yes. To be honest, we were hoping Paul Daniels would get into it.
There are several men have come out of it saying we were in Calais, but we moved over.
It's the most serious one. Tim, you've got the most
serious
one.
Well, yes, this is from David Blaine, and I know he can complain a lot, but he asked for a trick that would make Wolverhampton disappear.
Yes.
So how do you explain what you gave us?
We gave him an Ordnance Survey map and a bottle of Tippex.
Well, the next game combines music and jokes, a fine tradition that continues to this day with Ken Dodd and his novelty rock group, Bi Jovi. Musical accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Listeners will be interested to learn that Colin has just finished work on his autumnal suite. Harvesters say it'll be on their pudding menu by November. In this round, Colin will play a series of musical clues which fit together to form a well-known joke. And the teams must try to identify each clue in turn. And the team which correctly identifies the joke first wins. OK, so fingers on buzzers, teams. Colin, can we have the first musical clue, please? Barry?
Anniversary was.
It is, yes.
My wife and I celebrated our silver wedding some years ago, and I said, second honeymoon, love, where do you want to go after 25 years with me? And she looked me straight in the eyes and said, Lourdes.
Well, another clue, please, Colin. Susan?
Is that sexual healing?
It was Colin playing it.
Yes. And is it the joke, why don't owls make love when it's raining? Because it's too wet to woo.
Yes, Graham.
How do you make your wife scream when you're making love? Phone her.
Another clue.
Another clue? Okay, one more, please, Colin. Barry?
Don't fence me in.
It is, yes, we'll spot it.
This is fence, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
We're on fences. Have you got a joke
well,
on the fence?
Well, a guy's walking past a big wooden fence at a school and he hears all the pupils chanting, 13, 13, 13. Quite curious about this, he finds a hole in the fence and looks in. Somebody pokes him in the eye. Then everybody inside the fence goes, 14, 14.
Sorry, Graham?
Yeah, they say that good fences make good neighbours, but the one next door to us has got the police round all the time.
I think I've got it. We've had anniversary, sexual healing and fences. Couples celebrating their golden wedding went down to the tennis club, and after a few drinks, the wife became rather skittish, and she said to her husband, "Oh, darling, you remember we used to make love against the fence behind the pavilion?" And he said, "Yeah." She said, "Just once more, darling, for old time's sake." And they went behind the pavilion and the most beautiful, passionate scene ensued. And she said, "Darling, that was wonderful." He said, "Nobody told me that electrified the fence."
That was the one we're after. Thank you, Barry. Well, our next round is all about advice, and these days we are bombarded with frankly incorrect advice. Last week, when I was struggling through Jamie Oliver's recipe for lovely, jubbly tortellini, he instructed me to dump in the herbs. I did, and fell off the worktop. Now, the round is played backwards. I'll supply the answers to a number of genuine problems supplied by various experts, and then I'd like you teams to tell me what you think the original question might have been. So, Graham, we'll start with you. Here's the answer. Can you tell me what the original question was? Remove the remaining legs and place on top of an upturned bucket.
How can I win Britain's Got Talent with a three-legged dog?
In fact, the question was, what can I do if a chair leg breaks? That's what it was, really. Tim, here's one for you. Here's the answer. What was the question? Ignore the bad language and erratic behaviour, remove all hard objects and retire to a safe location.
What should I do as producer of Top Gear?
Not quite right. The question was, how should I deal with an episode of Tourette's? Barry, the answer is, go limp and keep your arms outstretched.
What should I do if given the lead in a passion play?
Good fact, the question was, what should I do if crowd surfing in the mosh pit of a concert? Susan, here's the answer. What's the question? Organise a breath-holding competition. Whoever holds their breath for longest wins.
How should the Labour leadership contest be decided?
In fact, the question was, how can I get my hyperactive grandchildren to shut up? Back to you, Graham. Here's the answer. What's the question? Push down immediately and repeat as necessary.
What should I do if I find Keith Lemon trapped in quicksand?
But in fact, the question was, how can I stop my dog from mounting house guests? Tim, the answer is start a conga line.
What shouldn't I have done at the Queen Mother's funeral?
It's actually, the question is, what can I do if no one is willing to dance with me at the school disco? Barry,
yes.
The answer is a coin in the bottom.
What is a great ice-breaking game at parties?
In fact, it's, is there a trick to stopping my tie flapping about on a blustery day? It hasn't worked for me, and to be honest, it hurts. So Susan. Finally, Susan. You'll find that stretching a rubber band over both knobs does the trick.
How do I bring the Miller bands back together?
In fact, the question was, is there anything I can do to my bedroom door to stop it from shutting? Well, and so, ladies and gentlemen, as the beer belly of time flops out of the dark shirt of eternity and the double chin of destiny ruins the passport photograph of existence, I notice it's the end of the show and indeed the series. So from the team, Samantha and myself and our audience in Sheffield, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Susan Kalman will be given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.